One of the things, you know, the Holy Spirit is with us always. He says He'll never leave us or forsake us, even if we don't recognize Him, even if we don't give credit for His presence. He's there. Even though we don't recognize that, okay, He's right here, right now, and I can say, yeah, the Holy Spirit is here. He's always there. He's with us wherever He goes. But many times we don't sense and know the presence until we give attention to the Spirit at work in us. We've got to many times give the attention. He's always there, and we can always rely on Him and count on Him. One of the things that the Apostle Paul said as they were about ready to go into Asia Minor, he said that they were turned a different way, and he says it felt good to the Holy Spirit, the direction that they were going. So he was relying on the Holy Spirit's direction and leading throughout his life in different areas of his life. He always would say, would mention about the Holy Spirit leading them and guiding them, and that it seemed prudent to go a certain way. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is always there moving in us, but we also need to take time to give attention to Him, to recognize that He's in us and that He's working through us and He's walking in us. Otherwise, we sort of forget about the Holy Spirit, that He's there. And the Holy Spirit is always with us. And we need to learn to lean on God, and many times learning to lean on God is many times learning to lean on the Holy Spirit and His work in our life. I had the opportunity today to learn to lean on the Holy Spirit. Took Reed and Heidi, and we went to the movies last night, and I had my wallet when I was in there, and I had my wallet every time I needed to pay for something, but as I was leaving, I couldn't find my wallet. So my wallet is somewhere in Huntington. So if you find it, okay, open it up. You see my, you know, it says Christopher Hayden on the license. You know, there's not much money in it. And the credit cards, you're not going to get much out of those either. But I only had a couple cards in there, thankfully. It's interesting that this weekend, normally I have like a stack of cards. Okay, I mean, it looks like a 52 deck, okay? I play cards with them in my wallet. And for some reason, and I'm going to give credit to the Holy Spirit, for some reason this weekend, I felt like I needed to remove those cards and put them on my dresser. Now, I had one credit card and I had my debit card, which was still in there, but I felt like I needed to remove those. And I don't know why, because I hadn't ever done it before. Maybe my rear end was starting to hurt as I would sit down, because it was so, you know, it was like putting a brick in the back of your pants, you know. And for some reason, I have a whole stack of them on my dresser. So, but I've got two cards that I've got to cancel today if I don't find my wallet, okay? And it's somewhere in that silly theater that we went to last night, because that's the only place that, when I recognize it, that's the only place that it is. So we're going to call over there and find out where it's at. But, you know, we've got to lean on the Holy Spirit. I talk about leaning on the Spirit, so I've got to learn to lean on the Spirit. I'm going to give credit to the Holy Spirit for telling me, speaking to me, and saying, remove those cards. You don't want all that stuff when you're going out to the fair and doing all these different things. And so so most of it, I'm okay. I just have to cancel two cards, and I know which ones they are. So, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit took care of me in that regards. But then, you know, I still can't find my wallet. So what's the rest of the work of the Holy Spirit? The rest of the work of the Holy Spirit is I've got to lean on Him and trust He's going to take care of the rest. That either we're going to find it, or we'll cancel it and I'll get a new wallet. and we'll go from there. But see, the Holy Spirit works like that many times. You know, for some reason, you know, and it doesn't mean that disaster doesn't happen. Disaster takes place. It happens, but it's many times it's a disaster to us. To God, it's nothing more than just a hiccup. I got a call this week and my uncle passed away. Gene Hayden. He was a minister for years and years and years. After I got saved, it was his church that I went and began to attend, and it's his church where I really began to grow and get stronger and become a man of God that God wanted me to be. And so he went on to be with the Lord this last week, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it to the funeral or not. It's down in Evansville, and I just got back from Evansville. So we're going to see how that goes, but He was a wonderful man of God. And I've got to lean on the Spirit for his family and pray for them. And the thing is they're all believers. All his family's believers. So they're ready to celebrate him. And, you know, he passed away. I think he was he 90 years old? I can't remember. I was looking in. It was like he's 90 years old. Man of God. And God took him home. God has all this in hand, and we don't realize how much God already knows before we run into trouble. God already has the solution worked out. Even when we don't know, we don't even know we're in trouble, God already has the solution. And he does that through the power and the anointing of the Spirit. And we've got to begin to learn to lean on the Spirit. We've got to recognize that he's there in situations so that when things happen, like me losing my wallet, or even something far more serious than that, when a family member goes to be with the Lord and we're sad, that we've got to lean on the Holy Spirit at work in us, changing us and moving in us and calming us when we need to be calm. You know, we weren't able to get the video up or did we get the video up? Kind of got it up. What did we not get up? We didn't get the song up. The song up. And it's available now? Of course it is. That's because the Spirit is at work. So now it works. But you know what? It didn't make a big... Most of you didn't even know, probably didn't even know the difference unless we told you that we couldn't get it up. You know, we couldn't get the thing to work. So you probably didn't even know anything was wrong. And you know what? The Spirit of God can take things that go wrong and make them go right. The song that we sang, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, that's an old song. And the thing is, though, is I love singing that song, but it's you got to have more life in it. You got to have hand clapping. You know, you got to have barn raising. You got to raise the roof on that song. Leaning. And so I want to sing that before we're done today. Again, although we need to clap our hands and get excited about what God's doing because we lean on God. Let's go into the scriptures before I keep rambling for another hour without saying what I want to say today. Go to the book of Philippians, the third chapter. And in Philippians, the third chapter, the Apostle Paul talking to the Philippian church, of course. Chapter 3, verse 3, and this is sort of the foundation scripture that I want to go to. He says this. Starting with the first verse. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. In other words, I keep repeating myself over and over because you need to keep hearing it over and over. You know, that makes me feel better when I repeat myself. Apostle Paul was saying that, hey, I'm repeating myself, but hey, it's not tedious because you know what? It's safe for you. Because you need to hear it over and over, and you need to hear it over again. That's one of the reasons why at least once a year I want to go through some of the major themes that we need to hear, and one of them is about the Holy Spirit and leaning on the Holy Spirit. When you go out the door, do you lean on the Spirit's move? Are you thinking that, Holy Spirit, lead me today where I need to go? Are you thinking, Lord, protect me? Holy Spirit, protect me in my travels today. Wherever I go, Holy Spirit, make sure that you protect me and watch over me and lead me to where you want me to be. He goes on and he says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Everyone say, no confidence in the flesh. If we don't have confidence in the flesh, then what do we have confidence in? He says it right there. In the Spirit, who worship God in the Spirit. Too often we have confidence in what we can achieve. Too often we have confidence in what we can do, what we can accomplish. And many times what we can accomplish, we may be able to accomplish a lot of different things. We may be able to do a lot of different works and a lot of different things in the flesh, but we cannot do anything of what God wants us to do in the flesh. It all has to be done in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the work. No matter how great a singer you are, no matter how great a preacher you may be, no matter how great of a Sunday school worker you are, no matter how great of a teacher that you are in VBS, you don't do it by the flesh, you do it by the Spirit. In other words, the power comes from the Holy Spirit that's within you. You may do certain things like get up and teach, but if anything good happens, it's because the Holy Spirit does it in the spirit world. And we don't think of the spirit world enough. We think of the fleshly world. Well, we do things and we think that that's all there is to it, is getting up and doing something. That's a part of it. In fact, he says that faith without works is dead. But we don't do it by the flesh. We do it by the Holy Spirit. Am I making any sense at all to anyone today? Because you can get up and you can be a great worship leader and you can lead worship, but if the Holy Spirit anointing is not on you, you're not going to be able to lead many people into the presence of God. But if this presence of God is on you, you don't even have to be very good at it. And you can lead people. One of the greatest preachers that ever was probably one of the most boring, dullest preachers. He was no Stephen Furtick, I'll tell you that, okay? If you know who Stephen Furtick is, he was no Stephen Furtick. He was one of the most boring and most dull preachers that had ever preached, that have ever graced a pulpit. And he was no Billy Graham either. Billy Graham, great preacher. Many people come to Christ, but one of the greatest preachers that they talked about in the olden days had so many different revivals that took place. In fact, revival after revival happened whenever this man would get up and preach, and his name was Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards would get up and preach. He was dry, he was dull, but the Holy Spirit was all over what he did. And God would just bring revival to city after city after city once he'd get up from the pulpit and preach. Why? Because the Holy Spirit did the work. And if the Holy Spirit was doing the work, I've got to imagine that there were certain things that were going on in him. One of the things that must have been going on with him is that he was a man of great prayer. And of course, many people talk about the great prayer of Jonathan Edwards. He was a preacher back in the 1700s, 1600s, 1700s. Great preacher. Revival would take place. He was a man of prayer. He talked with the Lord. He talked with the Father. He talked with the Son. He talked and allowed the Holy Spirit to flow in him. And when he'd get up and preach, he would not rely on his abilities. He would rely on the Spirit of God that was in him. And that's something that we can do no matter what it is we're doing. Whether you're fixing a car, whether you're building a gazebo, whether you're cutting your grass, you know, the Holy Spirit can rule and reign in you. And if you're an average grass cutter, the Holy Spirit will make you a great grass cutter. You'll cut that grass and you'll look at it and say, that is anointed of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. Look at the edges on that. Isn't that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's God there. Okay. I had a group of guys who re-roofed we've had hail damage, and so we got our roof re-roofed, and it was an Amish crew that did our work, and they were wonderful. I mean, we laughed and talked. I mean, I'd never talked to Amish guys and seen them laugh before, but boy, they were laughing and kidding around with me and joking, and it was kind of funny. At least a couple of them were. Not all of them, but a couple of them were. And by the time they were done, I was looking at that roof. I said, that is an anointed roof. Those guys must know the Lord. It's absolutely wonderful. And see, you can approach life. You may not sense it in the flesh like that. You might say, oh, Chris, that's kind of weird. You might not sense it in the flesh. But in the spirit, there's a spiritual world that goes on. And anytime you can lean on the Holy Spirit at work in you, it makes the day go faster. It makes the time more anointed. And your life with God begins to grow even more. Even when you pray over things that you think you're just really good at and you don't need prayer. Has anybody ever done anything you didn't think, you think, you know, I don't need prayer for this? If you ever thought that, listen, the very gifts that we have in anything that we do is gifts that are given to us by God. Whatever your work is, whatever your occupation is, whatever you do, the reason you're good at it is because God gave you the gifts to be at it. You know, I'm just looking at Adam. He's good with numbers. You want to know why he's good with numbers? Because God put a brain in Adam and put a heart in Adam where he can do that. And then when the Holy Spirit is at work in him, he can become the best at it. Because then the Spirit will lead him into how to use that wisdom. In fact, if we were to look at the gifts of the Spirit, it all has to do with everything that we do every day. Gift of knowledge. Gift of wisdom. Gift of discernment. Gifts of healing. Gifts of tongues. All the different gifts that God can use in the moving of the body of Christ and in the church. And the greatest of these is love. You know, you can't love anybody like God wants you to love them without the Holy Spirit. Because it's not in our nature, it's not in the sinful nature or the sinful nature of man to love people. Now, when we're born again, our spirits are renewed and we are able to turn to God and we're able to love God and turn to Him and say we have that relationship again. But that's only the part. That's only a part of it because we have to have God's power working in us to be able to love people, to be able to care for people, to be able to see the need for Christ in people. And that's given to us when the Holy Spirit comes to baptize us and to change us so that we can really begin to see people like God sees them. You may not have anything in common with certain people in the world. Certain people at work you may not like at all. Certain people at work, you may not have anything in common with them. But when the Holy Spirit is filled up in your heart and in your life, you can see them the way Jesus sees them. And it changes the whole perspective of how you see them. If somebody that's in your life that's giving you trouble, start praying for them and start asking the Holy Spirit to touch them. Start praying for them. Well, what if they don't change? That's not your problem. That's God's issue. You're just supposed to do it. And you know what? When the Holy Spirit has filled you up, you recognize that's what I've got to do. That's what I need to do. I need to pray for that person. Man, that person needs prayer. That person, they must have a lot of problems in their life. Why they're acting the way that they do. They must have a lot of problems. That person needs Jesus. And let me tell you, I don't care who they are or how bad they are. Listen, there was very few people in the history of mankind that was worse than the Apostle Paul was. Very few people. I mean, you might be able to name a couple. Well, Hitler was pretty bad. You know, he was probably Mao Zedong. He was, you know, a rotten person. Who was the guy in Italy? Mussolini. Terrible person, all right? Pretty bad people. Paul was up there, wasn't quite up that far, but he was up there because he dragged people out of their homes, killed them because they were Christians, because they were going against the Jewish orthodoxy, killed them, put them in prison, separated families, worse than anybody else, than almost anybody else, and yet God took that man and changed him, and he became the apostle to the Gentiles. His name was Saul, and God changed his name to Paul, and Paul went about everywhere preaching. Why? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul talked about the power of the Holy Spirit as much as anybody else. In fact, in the book of Acts, he prayed for a group of quote-unquote Christians and prayed for that group and said, haven't you received the baptism of the Spirit since you believe? We don't even know if there is such a thing as a Holy Spirit. How many times have we gone into churches? How many churches, when you go into them, you say, what do you know about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit? We don't even know what you're talking about. I come to church. I don't need any. That's all I need. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. Well, this is all I need. Says you. You know, it's a wonderful thing to realize that I am not the smartest person in the universe. Because if I was the smartest person in the universe, and I'm really messing up bad. If I'm the smartest person in the universe, then we got a pretty dumb universe. There's so many things that I don't know. And all I'm submitting to you is, could there be so many things that maybe you don't know? Yeah, that's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why I need the Holy Spirit. He says, we put no confidence in the flesh. Go with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, the first thing that we need to remember, that if you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life, to lead you and guide you, you must have a purposeful and a consistent prayer time with Him. In Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to go at verse 25, and he says this. In verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So what do you think he means by that? If we live in the Spirit, we've become a Christian, then we also need to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean to you? All right. It's an everyday walk. It's an everyday walk with him. It's not just a once in a while. It's not just a once a week or a once a month or a once a year. It's an everyday walk with the Holy Spirit in your life. And the thing is to desire that and to want that comes when the Holy Spirit comes in. When you finally, when we as a church and we as God's people, and I'm not just talking about this church, I'm talking about the church universal, when we finally come to the place where we can't live without a daily walk with the Holy Spirit, when we come to that realization and the Holy Spirit is walking with us every day, there is nothing that will be able to stop the church. In fact, I think that's exactly what's going to happen, because the Bible says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. When you talk about the church, you're not just talking about this building. When I say we gather together as a church, I'm not talking about just coming to this building. I'm talking about us coming together as God's children and God's family, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. Now, someone should say amen to that. I don't know. What do I know? James chapter 22. So we need to walk in the Spirit. We need to continue to pray and talk with Him in the Spirit. And in James chapter 1, he says it like this. The Apostle James. Oh, I didn't mark my pages very well. In James 1, verse 22 or verse 21, he says in verse 21 of chapter 1 of James, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be a doer of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, but he is not a doer, he is like a man observing himself, observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself, and he goes away, and immediately he forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man will be blessed in his deeds. In other words, when you hear about the anointing of the Spirit and talk about the Spirit of God, unless you begin to walk and do as the Word of God tells us to do, by continuing in prayer, continuing to talk to Him, it's like you forget who you are. Has anybody ever experienced that? Or is that just me? Where many times you'll go away and you won't even think about God until it's time to come to church again. Won't even think about Him until it's time to come back to church. That's a person who knows that they're a believer, they've seen themselves in the Word of God, but then they walk away and they completely forget who they really are. Completely forget. That's why we need a continual, consistent, and purposeful walk with the Holy Spirit. Because then we continually remember that He's there and that He's working in us. Last week we talked a little bit about what Paul was telling Timothy. And one of the things that he told Timothy was continually stir up the gift. Stir up the gift that's been given to you by the laying on of hands. When Paul laid hands on Timothy, just like he did with the other believers in the book of Acts in the 19th chapter, he laid hands on them and they began to receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. And in this instance, we also see where Paul has laid hands on Timothy. He says, the gift that you received when I laid hands on you, stir that gift up. Stir it up. So let me ask you this. How do you stir it up? How do you stir up the gift that God has placed within you? By continually communicating to the Spirit, by continually going to Him, by continually recognizing that the Holy Spirit is working in you. I want to go with one more scripture and then I'm going to close. It's in the book of Ephesians. It came out in Sunday school. And in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, right about where we were before. Paul talking about appreciating the mystery of God. And he says in the 14th verse of chapter 3, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. That you would be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Do you feel that? That you've been strengthened by the Spirit of God on the inside of you? Do you feel His touch on your life? I'm getting some blank stares. And I'm getting some head nods. I'm not sure which. I guess I'm going to have to trust the Spirit on what people are receiving. I'm going to have to lean on the Spirit and what He's saying. We need to be strengthened. Rob brought this forth in Sunday school, that we need to be strengthened by His Spirit in our inner man, that the Holy Spirit comes and strengthens us and renews us and fills us so that we can do the work of the kingdom of God. But you've got to lean on Him to do it. So when you go and you're facing the trial or trouble, do you lean on the Spirit? Do you say, God, I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to let You do the work because I can't do the work. I'm going to go and just take a few moments and I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. Just play a little bit, if you would. I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads. We're going to pray. Just as I can't change anybody, although sometimes I try. Just as I can't change myself, even though sometimes I try. I've got to let the Holy Spirit do the changing. just as I can't love people like God wants me to, even though I try, or trust in God like I'm supposed to, even though I try, I don't do it. I can through the power of His Holy Spirit. I can be moved by the power of His Holy Spirit in me. But I've got to recognize that He's there. I've got to pray and speak with the understanding that He's there and that He's working in me. And there's times when I need to say, Holy Spirit, lead me. There's times when I need to say, Holy Spirit, guide me. There's times when I say, Holy Spirit, let Your anointing and Your power move in this situation. Let Your Holy Spirit, Lord, Your anointing and Your power move in the direction that we need to go. Tell us what we need to do. Tell us where we need to be. We need You now. Help us to lean on You, Lord, and not on ourselves. Put no confidence in the flesh, but put confidence in the Holy Spirit and His move in us. Thank You, Jesus.